The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Last week, the Trump administration issued a strict new policy that requires migrants to first apply for asylum in a country that they pass through en route to the United States before they apply for asylum in the United States. And this rule is already facing some serious legal challenges. But what does this rule mean? How does it impact migrants currently waiting for asylum claims to be processed? And other new rule changes that seem to be coming out of Washington, D.C. at a rapid fire pace. We're joined now with Erica Schomer. She is a clinical assistant professor at St. Mary's University School of Law, where she teaches in the Immigration and Human Rights Clinic. And Erica, welcome back to The Source. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
So this is the new rule. It seems to be doing everything it can to keep asylum seekers from coming into the United States to apply for asylum, even though that is the law, right?
Correct. You cannot apply for asylum without being physically present in the U.S.
But so what is I guess this is what's going to be talked about in courts, right?
Yes, certainly. Two lawsuits have been filed last week. Two suits were filed. There was a hearing this morning by the D.C. Circuit Court. The judge hasn't ruled. And then the lawsuit that was filed in California is set for a hearing on Wednesday.
Our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. If you've got a question or a comment about the impact of these new rules and the rationale behind them, what are the legal challenges? So, Erica, also there's a new rule that came out today about speed up deportation without you wouldn't have to see a deportation judge if you can't prove that you've been in the United States 2 years or something. What is this?
Sure. So what the government is aiming to do is expand what's called expedited removal. And expedited removal is something that was created in a law passed in 1996, but its implementation has been very limited. And essentially, it lets any immigration officer issue a deportation order to a person. Until today, it had been applied to individuals who were found within 100 miles of a border who couldn't prove that they've been in the U.S. for more than 14 days. So it basically was applied to people who were caught entering close to the border. And what the rule announced yesterday, going in effect today, says is that this process would be applied to anyone found in the U.S. who can't prove that they were admitted or paroled into the U.S. So essentially, it applies to people who didn't enter with a visa if they can't prove that they've been here for at least 2 years.
This, when we talk about having a deportation force, this is something that's been brought up by the Trump administration. This would certainly be able to, if this rule holds up, passes scrutiny, because I'm sure it's going to be challenged in the courts as well, right?
Yes, it will be.
Then this will definitely speed up these mass deportations that we've heard about.
Yes, it will. And what's really troubling about expedited removal is that it's any immigration officer. And if you just think about someone coming into immigration custody, maybe after a traffic stop, there is no doubt that there will be U.S. citizens, permanent residents, people with lawful immigration status who, if they don't have their documents on them at the time they're stopped, may be vulnerable to this. And there is no review by an immigration judge or any other judge.
Is there, it certainly seems this way, that there are people who are working in the Trump administration who are combing through immigration law, looking for anything that they can do to make it more stricter or even shut it down?
Certainly. So this expansion that we saw yesterday actually was authorized by an executive order that the president signed in 2017, basically saying that he wanted the Secretary of Homeland Security to implement expedited removal to its fullest extent. So as I said before, it had only been applied within 100 miles, 14 days, that rule. And so there have been some leaked memos that basically do exactly what you said, go through the immigration laws and look at all of the possible restrictions that might stand up to scrutiny by the courts that could be implemented to make immigration more difficult and to increase the number of deportations.
So we're probably haven't seen the last of these types of rule changes.
No.
They're kind of creative with how they're coming up with this stuff, don't you think? I mean, you've got to put a lot of effort in to come up with some of these adjustments.
Certainly. I think in some of the cases, particularly in some of the things that have been struck down or that are pending injunctions or that are haven't been implemented because of injunctions that are currently in place, they're trying to implement rules with a kind of tortured reading of the statutes to get to the interpretation that they want to be able to implement policy changes.
So their point of view, their objective was what, do you think?
Restrict immigration.
Restrict it to what, zero?
Well, if you look at some of the policy standpoints, definitely restrict immigration overall, including legal immigration. There have been proposals floated that would eliminate being able to petition for certain family members. There was a discussion last week in the White House about reducing the number of refugees admitted into the U.S. Legally down to possibly as low as 3,000 for the next fiscal year, and also restricting a kind of immigration. So looking at essentially letting people who are well-educated, speak English, and or have a lot of money come into the U.S. and restricting everybody else.
Now, some of the reading that I put into this, I hear a lot about, this is the rule for the southern border. Are they coming up with different rules for the northern border and the southern border?
Sometimes. In this, the rule that was announced last week that would require people to have applied for asylum in one of the transit countries does apply only to the southern border. Now, part of that, we do have a safe third country agreement with Canada already, so there are some different rules in place for
people. But Canada is actually safe.
Right, and Canada has a functioning asylum system. The same cannot be said for Mexico, and Guatemala, for example, doesn't have... there's information that they adjudicated 20 asylum cases in a year. 20. So the idea that people coming from Honduras or El Salvador who passed through Guatemala would apply for asylum there is just ludicrous, not to mention that for people coming from Central America, there are very valid arguments that they would not be safe in Guatemala or in Mexico because it's quite possible that the people persecuting them would be able to find them and locate them in either of those countries.
The U.S. State Department has issued traveler advisories warning people not to travel to Tamaulipas, which is the Mexican state on the border with Texas, that kind of is around Laredo to Brownsville. And too many kidnappings, too many murders, that this is a state that is in turmoil. But this is exactly where they want to have people seeking asylum to be in these refugee camps on the border. And they say that's going to be safe.
Correct. And what you're talking about now is the implementation of what the administration calls the migrant protection protocols or the Remain in Mexico policy. And that is a situation where essentially CBP, Customs and Border Protection, is taking people who come and say, I want to apply for asylum. And they say, okay, we'll register your case. We're going to send you back across the border and you're going to wait there. And on August 16th, September 9th, whatever your date is, come back and get in line, and we will take you to see a judge by televideo. And so the implementation of that program in Nuevo Laredo just happened about 2 weeks ago, and in Matamoros, they started implementing that on Friday.
We know, or we've seen reports that tell us that the drug cartels are the ones that are operating these asylum camps, right? Have you heard that?
I have heard reports. I've heard reports that anybody who wants to get close to the river has to pay at least $20 a head. It's very disturbing, and the reports that are coming from California and from El Paso, where this program has already been in place, there have been people in court watching, observing the hearings, where people are telling the judges when they go to court, I can't go back there and wait. Please let me wait here. I'm not safe. People have reported, you know, kidnappings, robberies, all sorts of things.
And sexual exploitation.
Yeah, sexual assault. They're not safe. And it's just yet another way this administration has implemented so many policies because it seems to think that if they make things bad enough, people will stop coming.
So the fact that the United States is telling the world and our own citizens that they want these asylum seekers to wait in Mexico where it is safe, they say, but we know that it is not. That is a factual untruth.
Correct. One of the very interesting things that came out in the last couple of weeks is the union that represents asylum officers. So they're government employees that work for U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. They're tasked with doing the credible fear interviews. The union representing them filed a brief in one of the lawsuits that's challenging the migrant protection protocol, saying people are telling us they're not safe. We know they're not safe. And we cannot do our job because we're being asked to implement a policy that is not consistent with the oath we took as officers.
It's inhumane. The number to call in, if you got a question or a comment, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're going through some of these new President Trump asylum rules and legal challenges that are being brought forth into the courts. With us now is Erica Schomer. She's an assistant professor at St. Mary's University School of Law, where she teaches immigration and human rights clinic there. So who is bringing forth these challenges into the courts, and do they have standing? That's always seems to be a big problem. And is this going to be able to find some way to deal with this?
Sure. So the lawsuits that were filed last week to challenge the rule saying that you essentially have to apply for asylum in any transit country before coming to the U.S. was filed by the ACLU and Southern Poverty Law Center. And they're essentially representing various immigration legal service providers, people who work with the immigrant community. So the plaintiffs are organizations, not individual people who are asylum seekers. And similarly, in the case that was filed in D.C. was brought by Raices, which is a San Antonio-based immigration advocacy organization, and the CARE Coalition, which is an organization based in D.C.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Kevin is called in. Kevin, thanks for calling in. Go ahead. You're on the air.
You know what? My question is, okay, so I understand there are immigrants and everything, and it's horrible, but I live here in San Antonio, and there's homeless people on almost every corner. Can we really afford to take in, if there's 100,000 a month coming? That's 1.2 million people every year. Can we afford to provide for that many people?
All right, Kevin, thanks for calling in. I appreciate your question. So I don't want to conflate two different problems. Homelessness is an issue in and of itself, in which, you know, when we have unemployment, which is below 3%, you have to wonder about the why these people, you see them on a street corner and what that's all about. But to the question about the whether or not this is a burden on society overall and what that would look like, Erica Schumer?
So just to give some data, in fiscal year 2017, there were 139,000 affirmative asylum applications. And so we are not talking about millions of applications. It's a little hard to get the exact total number because some cases are filed affirmatively with the agency, some are filed with court. But last year, for example, in fiscal year 2018, in immigration court, there were 42,000 asylum cases adjudicated. So this is not a number of applications that we can't deal with. It's not a number of people that our country can't absorb. And when people are granted asylum, they are entitled to work, and they do work and contribute to society. And so the number, just looking at the sheer numbers of people, we are a very large country, and it is easy to kind of look at the rhetoric and think that our country is being overwhelmed and that these numbers are not supportable, but that's not the case. Immigration is still lower than it has been at in recent times in history. And so we are nowhere near a place where we can't deal with it. Our courts are very busy, and they need more resources to be able to adjudicate the cases fairly and efficiently. That is true. But as far as our society being able to take in population who meet the criteria, that is not a concern.
210-614-8980. So there's a lot of different types of arguments, lots of angles of approach to look at this situation. And one that we're looking at really is immigration law and human rights.
Correct.
And so we would expect the government to follow the law. And the law has been set. And this is like there are these procedures, the expectations, they have gone through Congress, they have been signed into law. Not by this president, but still they are the law, right?
Yes.
And those laws is not about the change under what we have happening now with Democrats controlling the House, Republicans controlling the Senate, and Donald Trump in the White House. This is the law.
Right. And that's actually the basis for the legal challenges of the rule going into effect last week, is that this new rule saying you have to apply for asylum in some other country before getting here, subject to very narrow exceptions. The argument is that that is contrary to the law that Congress passed. So when we implemented our commitment to the Refugee Convention, that was in the Refugee Act that was passed in 1980. And then some amendments have been made by Congress, but we already have what's called the firm resettlement rule, and that was approved by Congress. And that essentially says that if you fled your country because you meet the definition of a refugee and you have been resettled in another country, so you have become a citizen of another country, or you have basically the equivalent of legal permanent resident status where you can reside for the rest of your life and enjoy the right to work, the right to healthcare, education, that sort of thing, then you aren't eligible for asylum. So that is what the law as enacted by Congress is. This new change, arguably, well, it goes way beyond that. And one of the challenges is that, the Secretary of Homeland Security and the Attorney General do not have the authority to make this much more onerous rule that essentially makes the firm resettlement rule passed by Congress meaningless, because it's now a much lower standard.
Back to the phones, 210-614-8980 with Frank. And Frank, I'm glad you called. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for letting me have a few words here this morning. I just wanted to say, first of all, that we are in a compassionate country here in America for the most part, but we have a problem when we want to take care, we neglect American citizens to take care of those who are not American citizens. We spend billions of dollars every year housing people who come to this country illegally, and then we don't want to admit that their actions are illegal, their actions are criminal. In this country, when you break the law, you're a criminal. I don't care who you are. But for some reason, in the case of these people coming from Central America, South America, Mexico, all of a sudden they commit criminal acts by just coming here illegally, and we turn a deaf ear to that. And those who stand up and to uphold the laws of the country, we call them out and try to make them be villains, and it's something wrong with that picture.
All right, Frank. Well, I'm glad you called. Thank you so much. Appreciate that point of view. So if you are an asylum seeker, are you breaking the law, Erica Schomer?
No, you are not.
Following the law.
You are. The only way you can seek asylum again is to present yourself in the U.S. And so this rule of having to apply somewhere else applies to someone who walks up through the port of entry, presents to an immigration officer, and says, I can't go back to my country because I will be killed. They would be prevented from being eligible for asylum. Now, another thing that is very important for people to understand is that not everybody is walking up to the bridge and presenting themselves, and that is because this administration has been illegally metering people.
So when you say illegally, so the administration is breaking the law?
Yes. They are turning people away. There are illegal lists of people where at the ports of entry, they're saying, today we're only going to interview 8 people. And so we have families with kids, people who are sick, people who have been injured because of the persecution they suffered, sitting on bridges, being homeless in Mexico,
and we're
waiting.
Sending people to their deaths, that's pretty much the policy right now. So when we say America is a compassionate country, but there is, you know, then something's wrong there. That's not a complete thought, because that's, let's go to another caller. Let's go to Yanni. Yanni, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, thank you. I realize that the focus was supposed to be immigration law, but I've been listening, and the last two callers have talked about this burden on American society and whether we can afford this. And I just feel that it's very important that in this discussion we recognize the history that the American corporations and government have played in the region in Central America, that we have helped create this problem. And so it isn't a burden when we have to respond to the inequities and the injustice and the persecution and the problems that these regions are facing. It's a moral responsibility on our part, and to recognize this. They're not immigrants, they're refugees, and that was our supposed backyard that we demolished. So we destroyed these societies and these countries.
Yanni, thank you for your call. I'm gonna have to wrap you up there. I got your point, but I want to give Erica a chance to respond to that. What is, okay, under the law, what is our responsibility?
Well, we ratified the Refugee Convention. We have a responsibility to take people who meet the criteria for asylum. It is difficult to win an asylum case. You have to show that you suffered past persecution, or you have a well-founded fear of persecution on account of one of 5 reasons, race, religion, nationality, political opinion, or membership in a particular social group. We're not talking about protection for people who are coming for any old reason. We have an obligation under international law and under the law we created to protect
people. Really quickly,
people.
Like 30 seconds, human mm-hmm. rights. What about that?
Well, what the last caller said is absolutely true. People are fleeing at situations that in some way our government has contributed to in lots of regions in the country. And so to have a global presence in the world and then not take responsibility for dangers that we have had a part in creating is not being a good global citizen.
And it's not our responsibility. This is our responsibility. These are our children that we need to take care of in a way. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Erica Schomer, St. Mary's University School of Law. She teaches immigration and human rights. This is The Source. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.